We connect with our friend, the voice of the Baltimore Orioles, the lovely and talented Gary Thorne. Hello, Gary.
Lovely.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
Yes.
Calling me Kit pretty soon.
Oh, I have for years. Not to your face.
I know.
How was your trip down? You're in Sarasota now, right?
Yeah, in Sarasota, the Orioles, the spring training site. A great facility and a place where I've lived for 22 years here. So it's, I thought the Orioles did a real nice thing with the Sarasota spring training.
Well, clearly they know where their bread is buttered. Got to take care of business
exactly.
There.
Yeah, sure.
Keep Gary happy. How are the prospects for this year's Orioles team?
Not good. I don't think it'll be any surprise to anybody. They're expected to lose in probably 100 games or more again this year. It's another year for the minors, you know, doing the draft choices, getting the organization together under the new GM who's been here only 1 year, Mike Elias. So they'll concentrate on that. And much like last year, there'll be a lot of role players at the big league level. Pitching will be questionable, especially the starting rotation. And we'll see. I mean, they battled. They did last year. I think they're a tough team to play, but the talent level just hasn't been where it needs to be to win some ballgames.
What do you make of this whole sign-stealing scandal? Obviously, people have been stealing signs in Major League Baseball for as long as the game has been around. Was it just the level of technology that made it so egregious?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly what it was. And I think the whole thing is on a graduated scale upwards as far as stealing signs. I mean, you're right. It's been done forever. And there were coaches who've been hired over the years who were hired because they were so good at it. And there was nothing wrong with that. If you could figure out sequences, then great. Helped your ball club. But when the technology took over, then I think it just got a little too much. The stuff going on with cameras and banging and trash cans and all this stuff, after a while, it just gets too far and it takes too much away from the game. And I was surprised at the players' responses, but they've been pretty negative about it. I mean, a lot of players have really come down hard on the Astros and some of the Red Sox for using technology for sign stealing that it takes away from the game. And I'm glad they have. I mean, I think it's time to put a stop to all this, as the commissioner did, and get this thing back on track and play the game.
As you look around the American League East this year, are the Yankees the team to beat? They've got some questions with some pitching injuries, but has anybody elevated themselves above them yet?
I don't think so. I think the division will be really interesting because nobody quite knows how Toronto's going to be. I mean, they've got the great kids who got some playing time in last year. Will they continue to improve and blossom as an offensive team? Tampa Bay will continue, I think, to pitch well as they always have, which makes them a very tough team to play against. I'm not sure they'll be as good as they were even last year, but they're going to be a tough game to play against. Boston with, you know, the Betts deal and all that's going on there, how much is that going to affect the psychology of the team as much as what goes on the field? Don't think there's a good answer to that yet. And the Yankees do have some concerns regarding their pitching. Back end of the bullpen, still really good. And they should have just a fire for an offense. And that's where I think they'll probably win some games and win the division. But you've got a lot of real interesting questions and interesting players on the positive side of things to look at, I think, for almost all of the clubs in the American League East.
We're talking with Gary Thorne here on Downtown. Should fans be at all concerned about the possibility of some labor battles in the coming years?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I give credit to both sides in that the discussions have been going on now for over a year, and they've kept them quiet, and that's good. When you have negotiations going on, those things need to be kept under wraps, because if they become public, then you just get too much fire and brimstone developing. I don't have a good feel for that, Rich, honestly. I heard at the end of last season there was some real concerns that there was going to be some kind of a shutdown the next time around. And then as the off season went on, it seems as though they were able to reach a chord on some of the matters, some of the things regarding the money and what they were going to pay minor leaguers and what the minimum was going to be and all the usual stuff that went on.
So right now, I don't think there's a real concern that baseball is going to be shut down. And I think one of the reasons for that is that both sides realize the cost of a shutdown in baseball would be enormous. I mean, if you thought it was bad the last time around, and fans lost and interest being lost, this time it would double, triple what it was back in 94 or 95. It would not be good. Fans just aren't going to put up with that anymore. There's too much money being thrown around. There's too much money being made, and fans just aren't going to sit still and continue to follow the game if, in fact, they shut it down. So I think that's a primary reason why it won't happen.
Gary, one of the reasons we wanted to talk with you today is because tomorrow on the show, author Kevin Cowherd is coming on with us to talk about his wonderful book, When the Crowd Didn't Roar, and you play a pretty significant part in the story of the game that was played some 5 years ago now, April of 2015, in response to the riots that spread throughout Baltimore after the death of Freddie Gray. What was that whole environment like at the time?
It was very tense. Obviously, it was serious rioting going on in downtown, a lot of burning buildings and people out in the street, a lot of shutdowns of businesses and schools, and not knowing exactly how far this was going to go and whether it was going to be stopped. So there was real concern, and real concern about what do you do with the Orioles at home playing baseball, a couple of games canceled, and then a decision to play that game without fans in the ballpark, just to keep people away from downtown and not to encourage any gathering of people who might want to cause trouble where there would be a crowd of people. And really not really sure if even if you open the gates would anybody have come. So that decision was made in a tense circumstance of trying to get the city quieted down and the Orioles not wanting to be a part of presenting any problems, and at the same time thinking maybe the fact that they would play would be something that would be a comforting effort to the city of Baltimore. So, I mean, it was tough. It was very tough, and it was very tense.
And what was it like to broadcast a game with no fans?
It was, it'll probably be the strangest thing ever for me as a broadcaster. I mean, literally, the ballpark was empty, except I think there were a couple of scouts who did get in and sat down behind home plate. But there was nobody else. I had Adam Jones stand up in the dugout and holler up at me to keep it down because they could hear. I mean, that's how quiet it was. The guys down on the field and in the dugout could actually hear the broadcast going on from upstairs, and you really felt like you almost had to whisper. Because you get so used to having the crowd noise and talking over it, and it's having an impact as plays are made. You know, it kind of takes over the broadcast for a moment. But there was none of that to be had. I mean, it was just silence. And there was also the concern going on of, is everything going to be okay? Mm. And there were fans outside the ballpark. There was one particular gate where, I don't know, 100, 200 stood for virtually the entire game because you could see through to see a little bit of the field from the center field area, and still were outside the ballpark. And a concern throughout was there were going to be problems outside. Would there still be a gathering of people who wanted to cause some problems because the ball game was being played? So you had that all going on, and in all honesty, I think for everybody involved, it was like, let's get through this as quickly as we can and get off the field. It was strange.
Gary, Bruce, the question I wondered is, did that then force you and Jim Palmer to maybe not say things that you would have said if the crowd was there? I mean, if a guy can hear you, are you going to mention he's 0 for 28? Or did it cause you to have to broadcast in a different way?
No, not at all. There was nothing I ever thought of and right now would think of. There was nothing I said or didn't say that was the result of being in an empty ballpark. We did the ball game as we would have any other. And, I mean, the guys were kind of funny about it. I mean, during the game and after the game, talking about the fact that they could hear us all over the ballpark, even though there was, you know, no speakers or anything going on. That part of it was kind of comical, I think, for the players and also for us. But, no, they didn't change anything. Hey, the guys hear what we say anyway at some point. The wives tell them or
some things,
whether they hear it firsthand or secondhand, I think there's a difference.
Some things never change. By the way, now that you're in Florida, I would just want to advise you to keep your eyes open. You know who else arrived in Florida today?
Who else?
George Hale.
No.
Yes.
Where is George?
I'm not sure where he is. I think his son has a place down there, but he is in the same state as you, so be on high alert.
I will be on high alert. Have my head on a swivel. Seeing George. God love him.
Absolutely. Hey, Gary,
it's the best comment of all. We were talking about him the other day, and I was asking you because I like to keep updated with him. We email every once in a while. And you had the same wish I did. We're both hoping he speaks at our funeral.
Yes. If he can get the time off from his show that day.
Oh, my God. I love it. God love him.
Gary, great to talk with you. As always, we hope it's a surprisingly good season for the Orioles, and we'll catch up with you as the year goes on.
All right. Appreciate it. Be well.
Thank you, Gary. Gary Thorne, voice of the Baltimore Orioles, the Old Town native here on Downtown, getting us underway. And again, tomorrow, Bruce and I will talk with Kevin Cowherd about his terrific book, When the Crowd Didn't Roar.